Welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I am Alan Jackway, and sitting across from me in our mobile studio, though still in the same building, just mobile to a different room for reasons involving cats, Mr. James Bunnell. James, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you this week, Alan?
Pretty good. Probably better than the cat. Just had all of his teeth removed.
Yeah, that sucks.
Kind of a bummer if you're a cat and you like looking fearsome.
Yeah.
Which they love to do. But I enjoyed myself a week of football.
It's good to have a football week again.
It was a pretty good football week, too, especially because I did not watch that game that we previewed. Sure didn't.
No,
and I hear it was terrible.
Yeah.
So that's great. I mean, I think we really lucked out by being on the East Coast and just going to sleep instead of watching whatever happened last night. At the front of this, I would like to say, listeners, firstly, I'm sorry if this sounds a little weird. We're testing out this studio arrangement for the first time. And secondly, I'm sorry the podcast went up late. That was my fault. I put it on the server, but didn't make the post.
Oops.
So it was just sitting there for days, not available to anyone other than me. Which is my fault.
That's how we know we're a real podcast. It's because we have real podcast mistakes.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, it did go up. It did go up Monday. it was a little late, but we didn't give a lot of specific weekly stuff, so it could be worse.
You should definitely go back and listen for the limericks, though.
Because, yeah, you should at least hit the limericks for completeness' sake.
By the end of this, we'll have a companion piece made entirely of just our limericks that you can listen to.
Yeah, we should make a
book. A book would be good.
I don't know if I have the haikus from last year around, though.
But they're recorded.
It is true. They are recorded, so that would be an option.
Yeah. Let us know if you want us to make a book. Send us an email to podcast.
Yeah, we can rig it up.
It's at alanjackaway.com. Yeah.
It's easy to do that stuff these days, so. We are continuing today with our limerick-based previews of the NFL season. All 32 teams by the end of the year. The teams we are doing today are Green Bay, I think at Minnesota, I believe is the game. Pretty sure it's at Minnesota. Seems like something I would have checked, but it's not. And James, would you start us off with Minnesota? What have you got for us about the Minnesota Vikings?
I'll start you off with a limerick, Alan. A front seven who eat up formations, and young corners could be their salvation. Though they don't ride on boats, their fans they'll engross. Watch out for this Viking invasion.
Nice. Skull, I hear.
Yes.
Did you see that, the Twitter thing?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, this defense is pretty exciting. Whatever is happening on the offensive side of the football for the Vikings, however you choose to feel about that.
They won last week, right?
They did win last
25
week.
25 points or something.
They did, although that was on an interception return for a touchdown by one of their linebackers. Yeah.
Defensive touchdowns. That's what we like to see.
Defensive touchdowns. This is exactly, yeah. This is what I'm talking about, an exciting defense. Vikings fans should be pretty pleased this season, especially defensively-minded Vikings fans, because while not much may be happening on the offensive side of the ball, whether or not you love the reunion of Oklahoma Sooners Adrian Peterson and Sam Bradford, on the defensive side, as I said, they have a young crop of really talented players who are all sort of hitting their peak in stride. And it's looks to be pretty good for them. Last year, their linebacking core consisted of mostly just Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks. And this year, that's looking to be pretty much the same, except that Eric Kendricks looks even better than he did last year and has sort of assumed that middle linebacker full-time job. And he proved it last... I mean, he acquitted himself this week really quite well, with some pretty athletic and exciting play. You'd like to see more tackles from him, but I suspect those will come just based on his position and the fact that, you know, middle linebacker on defense.
I think he'll get them.
Some surprise first week success for Minnesota defensive end Danielle Hunter, who came out of that game with the other defensive touchdown for the Vikings. Four tackles, which is okay. For a defensive end, he's a fun guy to take a flyer on because he's young and athletic and has that ability to make those plays, but I don't know that I'm counting on him to, like, be the person in your league that's like, oh, you have J.J. Watt. Never mind, it's okay. I have Danielle Hunter. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, looking at last year, I think there's 6-7 weeks of less than 2 points, two or less points.
Yeah.
So that's not great. But
no.
But there's a 10 and a 9 in there, and I mean, last week was pretty good, so it's a boom or bust, but I think you probably have better options available to you from other teams.
You definitely do. Although at the defensive tackle position, if you could not get Aaron Donald from the Rams, Linval Joseph is definitely somebody that you would not be sad having at this moment. He had a monster game dominating the front of the offensive line of the Tennessee Titans. He racked up a good number of tackles, forced a fumble in there, had a sack, some good tackles for losses. I mean, he is young and strong and good at this game.
And he's a big part of why Tennessee's exotic Smash Mouth got whatever 3 yards per carry or whatever it wound
exactly
up averaging. So I think that,
yeah,
you know, the belief coming into this year and the reason they made that trade for Sam Bradford is they thought their defense was good enough to win the Super Bowl this year if they had a halfway decent offense.
And
I think you can see why they think that.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other player probably worth mentioning is Harrison Smith, a veteran safety that consistently scores pretty well in our defensive formats and started off with a pretty good first week, you know, getting the tackles. Nearly had an interception, fell straight out of his hands.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got the athleticism, he can make those plays, and if he's getting you 8 or 9 tackles a week, that's good from the safety position. Like, you can't go wrong with that.
Yep.
I said in my limerick that the cornerbacks are young, which is terrifying to me. I would not take them on a fantasy team, but Trey Waynes had an amazing first week for him, and it would be exciting to think that he can keep doing that, but there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that that is true.
Yeah, I don't think any of these cornerbacks really excites me as a starting option. I mean, I would be fine. Honestly, Trey Waynes is probably the one I would be least excited about being forced into starting, but I would be fine with pretty much any of the rest of them over him. But, I think Terrence Newman's a good player, but getting up there in years.
Yeah.
I think Xavier Rhodes is quite good, and those two,
he, unfortunately,
in a pinch, I would start, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, Rhodes is dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
So there's always the question mark about when he'll be back. It doesn't look like it's season-ending, but, you know, foot injuries for cornerbacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely concerning, but I'm just staying away from these cornerbacks.
Yes, I would, too. They're young and exciting, but not don't do it in the fantasy world.
Yeah.
But cheer for them if you're a Vikings fan. It's an exciting team this year.
I agree. Maybe one of the most exciting defensive teams.
I think so.
Moving on to the Green Bay Packers, I will start with my limerick, as we do. Here we go. Clay Matthews has moved back outside, so your quarterback really should hide. Can Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, with Peppers in the mix, match their offense's game stride for stride?
Yeah, that was spectacular, Alan.
So, I, for one, am very excited about Clay Matthews moving back outside. It's actually bad for you for fantasy purposes because as an inside linebacker, he was generating pretty reliable tackle numbers, and now he's going to be subject to sacks. But I don't see why he can't get 10 sacks against teams that are going to have to throw to catch up to the offense. And this is a team that, kind of similar to the Colts, how the Colts used to be with Peyton Manning, has built a defense that really wants their offense to get them ahead and then the defense to just go after the passers. And the main way they do that are with Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers, two longtime veterans who have put up really impressive sack numbers throughout their careers. Can you start them? I mean, if they counted as defensive end, you could certainly start both of them at defensive end.
Yeah.
Assuming they count as linebackers, I like Clay Matthews as an option. Julius Peppers, I'm probably staying away from if he counts as a linebacker.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of kind of inconsistency versus other players you can get at linebacker. I do like both of their safeties, Morgan Burnett and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I think they both are very good in
real
football.
They are probably two of the best, both regular and fantasy, both IRL and fantasy safeties.
Yeah,
playing
football. It's crazy that they managed to get them kind of on the same team. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix last year was 10th among all safeties. Morgan Burnett was quite a bit lower, but if I remember, he had some injuries. Yeah, he missed it looks like, four games in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And took a little time kind of phasing in and out of those games. So I'm not worried about Morgan Burnett, and he's someone you might be able to get as kind of a steal, just because he wasn't so great last year. So, but, you know, per game, he was still pretty good. Once he got back in, he was still averaging pretty well. So I think that's still a good option. And again, you know, the reason that these players are doing well in this scheme is that their offense is good enough to get them ahead, and then their sacks start coming, the interceptions start coming, mm-hmm. teams are forced to throw, and you can get points from people like Demarius Randall. Had a decent year last year. I think he'll have a decent year this year, as much as we can predict any cornerback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, generally I'm kind of down on our ability to predict cornerbacks, but you know, he showed up as the 27th cornerback last year. Right now he's the 12th cornerback after 1 week this year with 10 points in the first week. And, like, why not, right? Why not 10 points in a week?
Yeah.
So I'm happy to have him on my team. He's not someone that I'm really going out of the way for, but I'm not sure there's any cornerback that fits that other than Tyrann Mathieu in the league.
Yeah, basically. I don't think so.
So the cornerback's just so volatile that you're kind of looking for players like Demarius Randall who prove they can have good weeks and have proved it year over year that they can be consistent with that. So, yeah, so I would be happy with him. Again, generally speaking, I like this defense, and I think they're actually pretty good this year. Every year it's a little questionable, but I kind of like, you know, they drafted a in middle linebacker, Blake Martinez, to push Clay Matthews back to a spot where I think he's, again, not more useful for fantasy, but I think more useful for their team in terms of how their defense functions.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's it. I mean, I think there's a couple useful players here, and, you know, both safeties for sure.
Yeah.
And some sacks, maybe. And if they count as defensive ends, Peppers and
definitely.
Matthews would be high on my list. Listeners, this is probably the most important time of the year in terms of making pickups off the waiver wire, especially for defensive leagues where information coming into your draft maybe wasn't as complete as it would be for most offensive leagues. This is the time that you can really pick up players who are going to be spectacular, who weren't on anyone's draft radar coming into the year. So we're going to spend a couple minutes going through some of the high performers from week one and talk about whether we think they are for real or not for real. James suggested that we start with Cassius Marsh. Cassius Marsh had a really spectacular play to basically bury poor Miami's chances in that Seattle game, maybe several really spectacular plays, and scored 16.5 points in our scoring, and I say not for real.
Yeah, not for real, I think. Just,
I mean, it's for real in that he'll be on the field some, so he'll get opportunities, but he's not... I want to see at least one more good week out of him.
Yeah. This is another
jump on that.
Yeah, this is another instance where he is not the next J.J. Watt of fantasy football.
It's kind of how we felt about Danielle Hunter, who really should be on this list too, with 15 points in our format.
Yeah.
I want to see one more week of that before I'm ready to say, yes, let's go get Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes, let's go get Cassius Marsh.
Yeah, I think it's just, there's too much variability at the defensive end position.
I think the defensive end that did well that maybe wasn't on people's draft boards this year that I'm interested in is probably Leonard Williams. If he slipped off people's draft boards because of his situation with regard to last year, he's a player that you can pick up, and I mean, I think he should be good in that defense.
Yeah, yes, that defense is going to produce a lot of sacks. That New York Jets front line is a force to be reckoned with, and he stands to benefit greatly from being a nice, helpful part of that.
So I think that's that's probably the defensive end that did well that I was saying, oh yeah, that one's probably for real. Honestly, the rest of the defensive ends that scored over 10 points, I'm pretty much saying
probably
no
not real
across
yeah.
the board. So and that's how I feel about those. How about some linebackers? Linebackers are pretty critical to a lot of defensive formats.
They are.
So let's talk about a couple of these guys. James, how do you feel about Mason Foster of your football team?
I feel pretty good. I know, so he was not maybe the most spectacular while he played for Tampa Bay, and last year didn't do great, but that's because last year he wasn't getting many snaps for the Washington professional football team because we had a bunch of the linebackers. This year, we cut all our other linebackers. So now, Mason Foster gets the vast majority of our snaps in that middle linebacker position, and he's acquitting himself pretty well. He had 15 points last week on 14 tackles. So it's not his, he's not getting, you know, it's not fluke points that he's racking up. It's his ability to be there and be, you know, a tackler that's getting those points. I feel pretty confident in saying that he is, that's a real pickup right there. That's a real score for Mason Foster.
I agree with that. I also feel like Gerald Freeman, now of the Chicago Bears, is another option. Middle linebacker, maybe fell down your draft board because he wasn't great last year in Indianapolis. I think he was still in Indianapolis last year.
Who knows?
Not actually sure of that, but I know that he's new to Chicago this year, and he's I think he's a pretty good player, and I would be that's one that I'm willing to get in on. I think that's a real one.
Again, good middle linebacker. Well, acceptable middle linebacker on bad defense usually scores lots of points in fantasy.
Yep. The other one on this list that I'm interested in is C.O. Moore of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I actually watched a decent amount of that game. He was getting pretty consistent time at inside linebacker and racking up tackles that you would expect from that. So, you know, I'm not necessarily predicting him to stay in the top 10 of players at linebacker like he is now, but I think in that second tier of linebackers, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'm ready to predict him there, but second to third tier sounds about right.
How do you feel about a player like Whitney Mercilus? Linebacker.
That's good.
Got 14 points last week, but I hear what you're saying because two of those points or because
the two sacks
many
and
of
the
those
forced
points.
Fumble.
Yes.
Right? And so I do think that there's going to be weeks. So Mercilus is a kind of player that I'm happy to roster and play when I need a lot of points. I think he's going to be hit or miss.
Yeah.
Right? Because this week we saw not a lot of points going to J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that the sacks were going to other players like Whitney Mercilus with
yes.
two sacks. Some weeks those points are going to go to J.J. Watt and Mercilus is going to have just two tackles or something like that.
Exactly.
Or four tackles, and you're going to be not excited because he counts as a linebacker.
Yeah.
So am I willing to roster him? Yeah. In an all-defensive player league like the one we play in, yes. I would roster Whitney Mercilus, but I'm not rolling him out there over tackle players if I have an option.
Yes.
I think last linebacker I'm interested in talking about is when we talked about last week, Ray-Ray Armstrong.
Ray-Ray.
So I really wanted to bring him up just because we talked about him. His points mostly came from an interception in our league.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm not really buying it.
Navarro Bowman.
Good to see him up there.
It is good to see him up there, but Navarro Bowman is dominating the point production part of that defense. I just don't think there's too many tackles left to go around for basically any other linebacker on the 49ers that isn't named Navarro Bowman.
Kind of want to skip safeties and just call it a day with this because the safeties on this list are all either players who are highly ranked or players who got one interception.
Yeah, that's
so
how safeties go.
I don't see anyone jumping out to me that's like coming up that I'm saying, oh yeah, this person could be a tackle machine, which some safeties can, but it's just
yeah.
I just am not seeing it.
How do you feel about Denora Searcy? I feel like we talk about him every year.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
well.
Denora, I mean,
but
well. He was good that one year. There was one
yeah.
year that Denora Searcy was really good.
It might
so
have been the first year we did this podcast.
I think so. If you have an empty slot that you need to fill, I'm happy to put Denora Searcy in there and hope that he recaptures that one year.
Mm-hmm. So, 8 tackles in this first game.
That's what you like to see, generally. Mm-hmm. That's it, I think.
All yeah, cornerbacks are a crapshoot.
Yep.
None of the points are real.
Yeah, exactly. It's all a fantasy, you might say. Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album Giants, and actually later albums that don't include the song Dear Liza, various places that you get albums, pretty much anywhere that you get albums. We will be back next week previewing two more teams, talking more about pickups most likely, and we have a hit of the week.
We do.
And it really, unless you have another one, that Thursday
no,
hit.
It was. We both saw it, and it was it.
Yeah, so that Thursday night game, Carolina versus Denver, I assume it was C.J. Anderson, but I'm not actually sure of that. Someone was running free, had made it to the second level, but Thomas Davis does not take well to people making it to the second level and cutting in the open field.
He does not.
And when
not.
The guy cut back to the middle, Thomas Davis came up and basically blindsided him from not quite behind, but basically just from the side and back. And it was, I mean, it was quite a hit.
I don't know.
Since it was Thursday, probably a lot of you saw it.
I don't know if this was me jumping out of my chair, but it felt like the TV shook when he hit him.
Yeah, it was pretty serious.
It's
so
good.
I think that's a fair hit of the week. It's nice to get it from that early game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be on the lookout for next week.
That's right.
That'll do it. From Alan.
And James.
Stay low.